Say this, the word of God,
is
the answer. Say it one more time. The word of God,
is
the answer. Now let's say it like this.
The word of God,
is
my answer.
Say it one more time.
The word of God,
is
my answer.
Now I want you to point your finger at somebody. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. Point your finger at somebody and tell them
the word of God is
your answer. Now point your finger at somebody else. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. Point somebody at somebody else and say
the word of God is
your answer. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles up to Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3. We're going to get there in just a moment. I want to begin a series today entitled, Where Are You? It's a question. Where are you? Wrong place, good place, or set place? Where are you? Now, that's the question that I want you to be asking, and I want you to talk to the Lord about this. I want you to really talk to God about this. That's what I'm going to be challenging with you. Every lesson, I'm going to be asking you that question. Where are you? Are you in the wrong place? Or are you in a good place? Or are you in the set place? Now, the theme of this series is on proper alignment or proper placement. Proper alignment or proper placement. Now, before we get to wrong place, because we're going to talk about wrong place next week, before we get to wrong place and good place and set place, I want us to talk today about divine alignment and divine destiny. In other words, I want to make sure that we get our terms down. I want to make sure that we're on the same page. When I say divine alignment, you'll understand. When I say, when I talk about destiny, you'll know what I'm talking about. So we're going to introduce this lesson talking about divine alignment and divine destiny. Now listen to this. From the beginning of time, proper alignment or proper placement has been important to God. It was Adam being misaligned that prompted God to say, "Where are you?" So over in Genesis 3:29, God was looking for Adam and he said, "Hey, where are you?" Now, we know God is omniscient. He knows everything. So God wasn't trying to find Adam, and God knew where Adam was. But Adam had moved from a place of alignment, and he ended over to a place where he was misaligned. So when he asked the question, "Where are you?" God was trying to help Adam to locate himself. Where are you? And that's the question that I'm going to be asking you for the next several weeks. Where are you? Where we live, where we work, the people we are connected to, including who we marry, even where we worship and attend church, are all connected to our destiny. Where we live is connected to our destiny. Where we work is connected to our destiny. Where we attend church is connected to our destiny. Where we are members is connected to our destiny. Who we marry. And I said this in the first service. Let me ask a question. How many of you are single and you want to get married? Let me see your hand. I see your hand. Okay. It's good you're not married right now. Now, I said that not because there's some time involved. No, I'm not coming from that angle. It's good that you're not married right now because you can listen to this message and your mate and you should be in alignment. It's nothing worse than being connected to somebody and you're not in alignment. Because who you marry is going to color the whole of your life. And it will impact your destiny. So let's talk about divine alignment first. Amos chapter 3, verse 3, I'm reading from the traditional King James. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? So I want to give some definitions of alignment so that we'll be on the same page through this series, because when I say alignment, you may think one thing and I may be talking about something different. And usually when I define a theme or a subject, I try to give enough definitions so that we have a pretty comprehensive scope of what we're talking about. So I have four definitions. Listen at this. Alignment is being in step with God's will and being in unity with God's spirit. Being in step with God's will. Being in step with God's will. Being in step with God's will. Being in unity with God's spirit. Being in unity with God's spirit. You're walking with God. You're walking with God. You're walking with God. And you're in unity with the spirit. So if the spirit moves to the left, you're moving to the left. If the spirit moves to the right, you're moving to the right. If the spirit says, hold up, you're holding up. You're in step. Alignment is being in step with God's will and being in unity with his spirit. Secondly, alignment is a strong interest in God's feelings and a willingness to put his preferences above our own. A strong interest in God's feelings. What do you feel about this? What do you feel about this? What do you feel, God? Not us deciding stuff and then asking God to help us. But when you're in alignment, you have a strong interest in how God feels. And you're asking, what do you feel about this? What do you feel about this person? What do you feel about this decision? What do you feel about this? It is having a strong interest in God's feelings and a willingness to put his preferences above your own. Now, my preference was to go to law school. Yeah. Now, I'm giving illustrations out of my personal, but I'm not just talking about ministry, and I'm not just talking about being in church. Right. But my desire was to go to law school, and I was in law school, and I was headed to law school, and I was called into ministry, but ministry was God's desire. So when you're in alignment, you may have one interest. But when you discover his interest, you want to put his interest before your own. Thirdly, alignment is the thought of pleasing God. The very thought of pleasing God is important to you. And the thought of God being dissatisfied is unsettling. Do you even consider that, precious people? Do you even consider pleasing God? Is pleasing God, we're not talking about salvation right now, but is pleasing God to you, Christian, important to you? Is displeasing God unsettling? unsettling to you? Does displeasing God disturb you? Alignment. Rick Renner, in his book, Dream Thieves, says something about alignment. It's the fourth thing. Alignment is determining to shove aside all preconceived notions about your calling. Determining to shove aside all preconceived notions about your calling, all your desires, and all your self-made plans in order to come into alignment with what God wants for you. I submit to you that many Christians, remember now, we're pushing this born again thing off the table. We know that you're born again. We know you love the Lord. We know that you, if you died now, you go to heaven. We ain't talking about that. I submit to you that many Christians are not in alignment. Now, divine alignment encompasses several things. Number one, it encompasses God's assignment. Doing what God wants you to do. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Or are you doing what you want to do? Divine alignment also encompasses God's attitude. Scripture, let this mind be in you. His attitude would include our motives, why we're doing what we're doing. But attitude really has to do with thinking, acting, and reacting the way God wants you to. Divine alignment would also include geography. Not limited to geography, but it would include geography. In other words, being where God wants you to be. Well, you know, I like to live over there. You know, I always wanted to live. Always. Divine alignment also encompasses God's connections. God's what? Connection. Being with the people God wants you to be with. Being with the people God God has a destiny for you, and there are certain people that are critical to your destiny. Being with the people, being connected to the right people. And I'm not just talking about ministry now. I'm not just talking about church now. I'm talking about business. I'm talking about whatever you're involved in. Are you connected to the right people? Because you could be connected to the people that's hurting you from getting to your destiny. There could be people standing in the way of you getting to your destiny. And then finally, divine alignment encompasses God's season, doing things when God wants you to do them. Now watch this. Divine alignment leads to the good life. What kind of life? What kind of life? Put Ephesians chapter 2 up there, Amplified Bible, and just hold it up there for a minute. Hold it up there for a minute. Divine alignment leads to what kind of life? What kind of life? How many want to live the good life? Sure, we all want to live the good life. But you know, we've got to stop making decisions and then telling God to bless it. Marrying somebody because they fine. Marrying somebody because they can help you. And you know, even us parents, you know, we're in some cases we're setting our children up for failure when we should. The Bible said, train them up in the way that they should go. All of us have a bent towards something. It is our assignment as parents to discover what that bent is, because God has put some on the inside of them. And then when they get ready to go off to college, they like me and the rest of you. We major in stuff. And we're nowhere near it. Anybody here like that? Anybody here you ever majoring in stuff? Come on, wave at me. Just two or three of us, huh? Just two or three of us. So you majoring and you working in your area. You majoring and you working in your area. Most of us are not. You're fortunate. Most of us are not. But you can major in something and be working in it and not be in alignment. I heard this in my spirit. I didn't say this first service, so I'll show you. Y'all must be getting some good stuff second service. I heard this in my spirit that it is possible to experience achievement and not success. See, you can decide on a major, work on a major, and go up the corporate ladder and achieve a lot and not be successful. Because what you've achieved may not even be in line with what God intended for you. So we may need to just stop telling our kids, go in this field because you make more money in this field. And they end up miserable just like some of us because we were shooting for the dollars. And so we end up in something we hate going to work. But divine alignment leads to the good life. Come on, say the good life. Now look at that scripture right there. Ephesians 2:10 Amplified says, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those things which God predestined for us. Watch this. Taking paths which he prepared ahead of time. See, there are some paths that God has prepared ahead of time. It's the set place. Now watch this. And he says, if we take those paths, then we'll walk in them and live what kind of life? Because the good life has already been established along the path that he set. Let's talk a little bit about destiny. Turn over to Jeremiah 29. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 29, and you won't have to turn anymore. Jeremiah chapter 29. Let's talk about destiny. And then I want to show you how alignment connects to destiny. Jeremiah chapter 29. Oh, that's a good one. Oh, God is speaking to you. Now watch this. Jeremiah 29, and look at what it says in verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. See, God says, now I don't want you to be frustrated in your life. I don't want you to get up every morning frustrated. Some frustration is related to being out of alignment, to being misaligned. We're frustrated. He said, but I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord. He said, thoughts of peace and not of evil. I want you to have peace. I want you to enjoy the journey. Now watch this. And he says, put it back up there. He says, I want to give you an expected end. You know what? You know why I know that this lesson is a blessing to you? Because deep down on the inside of you, you know that there's something that you're supposed to do. There's someone that you're supposed to become. You know that. God put that on the inside of you. Some on the inside of you is telling you that there's more to this than what you're experiencing. That's God right there. And that's that expected end. See, God has preordained a place, a position, and all this. And that you're going to always be restless on the inside because the expected end is what God put on the inside, not what you choose with your head. So what is destiny? Destiny is something that a person is intended or ordained to become. Destiny is a place to which someone is headed. Casey Tree said this about destiny. He said, destiny is the course or the path in life that includes, watch this, both the God-ordained destination and your own journey, faith-filled journey toward that destination. So Casey says that, destiny is a destination that God has ordained for you. But he says it's also the journey toward that destination. See, I am somewhere right now, but I'm not where I'm headed. And guess what? You are somewhere right now, but you're not where you're headed. Where you are right now is just a part of the journey. And if you know, if you realize that you're not going to be where you are right now forever, then you won't be so frustrated because you know that where you are right now is temporary. There are two sides to destiny. This is just our introduction. Predestination and human responsibility. Predestination and what? Human responsibility. Now listen at predestination. Predestination is the divine determination of the way our life should be lived. And the way our gifts and talents and abilities should be used. Divine determination of the way our life should be lived is found here. We all go into different places, but how we live our life should be determined by this book, by the Word of God. So much of our time, we're coming to church to discern and to discover how we're supposed to live our life. Does that make sense to you? But this divine determination is not just how we live our life, it's how we use our gifts, talents, and abilities. Because all of us got gifts, talents, and abilities, but it's possible to be using your gifts, talents, and ability in the wrong way, in the wrong place, and even in the wrong time. Now, so we see now the Grammy Award winner. Okay, here's a person that's not even born again. Their life is full of vulgarity. They win this Grammy or Platinum Award for best-selling record, and they stand on the stage at the award ceremony, and I say, I give God the glory. Well, in the truest sense of the, and we know their lyrics is full of cursing and all kinds of stuff, and we say, how could they give God the glory? Well, there's some truth to that. Because that ingenuity, that creativity, that skill, that ability to be able to put things together, lyrics together, it was God-given. It's just used in the wrong way and in the wrong place. And some people go all their life using their God-given talents and gifts and abilities in the wrong place and use it in the wrong way. Does that make sense to anybody? Am I talking to anybody here? Is this speaking to you? Now, human responsibility is our choice to submit. Now, Tony said that it wasn't totally clear when I said it in the first service. So here's what I'm saying. When we come into the kingdom, we receive Christ, we're born again, right? We fit for heaven. We died now, we go straight to heaven. So what I'm going to say now is not talking about that new birth experience. Our responsibility after we get saved is to submit to his lordship.
That's good. That's good.
And it's possible to be saved and not submitted to God's lordship.
That's good. That's real good.
Does that make sense? Now, once I submit to his lordship, and that's not being born again, because see, a lot of Christians, they saved, but Jesus ain't their Lord yet. That make sense to you? Did that make? See, they made a confession of Jesus as Lord, and Jesus had already done the work. So there was no work that they had to do to get saved. But see, following God is accepting his lordship. So our responsibility is to submit and obey and cooperate with him. Now, here's the end result. The end result of our submission and our willingness to obey and our cooperation, watch this now. Watch this. Put Ephesians 1, verse 11 up on the monitor. Put that up on the monitor. Put that up on the monitor and just hold it there. I want to walk you into this. Now hold that right there. Just hold it up on there. Now listen at this. As a believer, how many Christians? Christian, you say. Okay, now watch this. Now we're going to take another step. Now, don't get technical on me. We're going to take another step, and now we're going to submit to him. Whatever he wants, we want it. Wherever he wants to go, we want to go. Whatever he wants us to do, we want to do it. Okay? Our life is no longer our own. So we're going to submit, and then as we're instructed, we're going to obey. And then we're going to cooperate with the Spirit of God, okay? Right? Now here's the end result. God will bring people, line up events and circumstances, and release resources into your life at exactly the right time you need it to fulfill your destiny. Did you hear that? I said, God will bring people. There are people that are critical to your divine destiny. There are people. There are certain people that you need to know, people you need to connect to, people that may need to mentor you, people that you need to partnership. There are people. Come on, say people. That are critical to your destination. And God will bring those people into your life. You ain't got to manipulate it. He'll bring those people into your life. Watch this. And then he'll start lining up events and circumstances. And then he'll start releasing resources. And see, in some cases, the reason why it is so frustrating, so hard, is because we're doing our thing. And we want God to resource us, resource what I want to do, bring people into my life to help me do what I want to do, line up events to help me do what I want to do. So where are you? Look at this scripture. In him, NIV, verse Ephesians 1:11, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him. The plan of what? Him. Watch this. Who works everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. When it says work everything in the conformity of the purpose, those are the events, those are the people, those are the resources. They're already lined up, but you got to be in your set place. And we're going to learn set place ain't just geography. Adam was misaligned and he was in the place God wanted him to be. He was right there in that garden. That's where it was supposed to be, but he was in misaligned. Now let's close this out. Let me close this out. Joseph is a classic illustration. Say Joseph. Joseph went from a pit to Potiphar. from Potiphar to a prison, from prison to the palace. See, being in alignment doesn't mean that you're not going to be misunderstood. Doesn't mean you're not going to have persecution. It does not mean that you're not going to have some folk try to take you down. But it does mean God will be with you. And so we see Joseph had a dream. God had put destiny on him. The boy knew, I'm going to rule. But he was immature. Talked to the wrong people. Caused jealousy and hatred, and his brother threw him in a pit. But when you're in alignment, the pit can't hold you. Watch this. It just happened that some Midianites were going down to Egypt. Well, Egypt was his destination. Egypt, where destiny was going to unfold to him. Now, God didn't intend for him to go in slavery, but God going to get him there. So God brought them guys by the got sold, and the next thing you know, he's in Egypt at Potiphar's house. He could have been in a lot of folks' house. But God put him in a place where a man's heart would be bent toward him. And the man turned everything over to him, and didn't even know him, turned everything over to him. Now you know the wife messed up that thing. Falsely accused him. End up in prison, but the prison can't hold you. Because destiny is on your life. So now in the prison, God orchestrated the keeper of the prison put Joseph over everything in the prison. God was orchestrating people to get him. And all the way he's learning how to lead. He learned how to lead in Potiphar. He learned how to lead it because he's going to be leading big time in a little. So he had to learn on some smaller things. See, you already on the right path. You're just not where you're going. God trains us on the way to get to where we're going so we can handle it. So God brought them. Pharaoh fell out with some of his officers. Two of them end up in the same prison Joseph was. And one of them was a divine link to him getting to Pharaoh. Well, how could Joseph go from the pit to the palace? He was in alignment. Even though folk hated him, he didn't hate them back. Even though folk did him wrong, he never held bitterness in his heart. He kept himself in alignment. And because he was in alignment, God kept on moving him. Does that make sense to anybody? Divine alignment will override our immaturity, even our sins and our mistakes. Divine alignment will override people's desire and attempt to abort and hinder God's plan for your life. When you're in alignment, nobody can stop you. They will try to stop you, but nobody will be able to stop you when you're in divine alignment. Cindy Trim said something. She said something in one of the books that I was reading about alignment. Here's what she said. She said this. My wife laughing at me because I'm patting my head. See, I used to have to pat my head, but it's bald now. See, I thought I'd be sweating all and I had to pat my head. I'm going to stop doing that because that don't look good, does it? Look like I'm Asian when I start patting my head. Okay, watch this. Cindy Trim said, I'm about to close. Cindy Trim said, many of us are ignorant to the fact that our lives are misaligned. We're quick to blame forces outside of ourselves. Circumstances, people, government, and too often the enemy, Satan, for what isn't working in our lives. She said this, but more often we allow our lives to become misaligned because of socialization. We defer to our relational constellation. The people we hang around and the way we were brought up to determine how high we fly. And you know, many Christians are where they are because of somebody else. They go to the church, they go to because of somebody else. They work the job they work because of somebody else. They major in because of somebody else. Most of the time, it's socialization. We conform to our culture. We conform to our parents. We conform to what everybody think we should do and how we should do it, except God. And so since we talk to God last, we end up misaligned, and we asking God to bless misalignment. In other words, we put new tires on a car that need alignment. That's why they asked, they said, now you need to get your car realigned, because we're going to put these new tires on. Because if you don't realign before you put the tires off, the tires going to wear out quicker than they should wear out. So what we're doing, we're adding stuff to our lives, but we hadn't got the realignment done. So we fasting and we praying. Amen. We even giving. I use this flashlight in my singles conference. I'm going to use it again today, okay? Is that all right with you? I'm going to use it in my next series too. Okay, I just want y'all to be all right with it, you know. I'm going to use it, okay? I got this flashlight. See it? It's got a battery, and I'm going to come over on that side. Okay, I want the camera to see it. It got a 6-volt battery, big battery in it. See it? See it? Can you see it? Do you see the wires on the top of this battery? It's got wires on the top of this battery, and the designer, the manufacturer, did it that way because this battery has to be set in this encasement in such a way where these wires connect to the bulb and release the energy that's in the battery and cause the light, right? So this has to be in a certain way for this to work. How many understand the illustration? But let's say I'm ignorant to that. Let's say I'm just ignorant. I didn't know. I just bought this. I didn't know how it works. And I just put it in this way. Right? Or let's just say, I don't care what God thinks. This is what I want. I don't care what he thinks. I'm going to run my life the way I want it to run. So rather than putting it in alignment, I'm going to put it in this way.
Teach, Pastor. Come on now. Teach.
But I want God to help me.
Teach it.
I want you to help me, Lord. I want life to work. Come on now. Come on now. Come on. Come on now. Come on. Maybe I need to pray more. Maybe I need to tithe. Fast. Come on, thing. Come on, God. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you, God? Come on. Come on. It just, what's it? It's on. Because I pushed it on. And that's the way, I hope you can get this at camera. I hope you get it. That's the way a lot of our lives are. We own. But it ain't working. So hopefully through this lesson, we'll understand alignment, because the manufacturer said you got to do it this way. You got to put it in this way. That's what God says. I want you to do it this way. And he said when you do it this way, it fits. And then when you push this, y'all thought it was gonna let me down, didn't you? Hey, y'all thought, oh Lord, come on now. So, where are you? Wrong place. Good place. Set place. Maybe there's nothing wrong with you. Maybe you got everything you need. Maybe you don't need to pray for nothing else. Maybe you just need to get in alignment. Did this speak to anybody today?